Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I just want to say thank you for joining us, and we ask that you would just visit our sponsors and supporters. Again, we're here to try to hopefully entertain you as well as inform you. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Well, welcome. Pat, you wanted to take us in an informative direction.
When am I ever informative? I downloaded a story about English words that sound like they're made up. And the article begins by referring us to Jabberwocky. Does anybody remember that from...
There was a dance group called Jabberwocky.
Well, this was the poem that Lewis Carroll wrote in Alice in Wonderland. Oh, frabjous day. And I see people using frabjous, F-R-A-B-J-O-U-S. It's a great word. any rate, it says, even though Lewis Carroll made up his own words like frabjous, he could have looked in the dictionary to find words that sound like gibberish. So they have a little list here. It says, don't be confused by the word bumfuzzle. It's a real transitive verb meaning perplex or fluster.
Okay.
Okay. All right. First one, snollygoster.
A snollygoster.
A snollygoster.
Are you going to make us guess what they mean?
Would you like to guess?
Sounds like a disease.
I think that'll take too much time. Okay. I think you probably should just share.
Snollygoster refers to an unprincipled but shrewd person. And Harry S. Truman used the word in a 1952 speech about his colleagues across the aisle, okay. Republicans,
okay.
Saying, I wish some of these snollygosters would read the New Testament and perform accordingly. Those darn snollygosters.
We have to use that one more often.
Yes. And then there's...
Are you elected to the office of snollygoster?
Snollygoster. There's friendlily.
Friendlily?
Friendlily, which is the adverbial form of the word friendly. You can use it in reference to a kind act. He pulled me aside and friendlily told me I had toilet paper on my shoe.
Well, that's snollygoster.
Snollygoster. Okay, the next one is pronk, P-R-O-N-K. Rabbits hop and horses gallop, but what do deer and gazelle do?
They pronk.
They pronk.
So do alpacas.
They pronk?
Yeah, Glenn's sister has alpacas. And
they when pronk? They,
yeah. So we knew that one.
You did?
Yeah.
You know pronk?
Yeah.
You'd heard it before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about that? I never heard it. It's a borrowed
we're
from
informed.
The... Are you?
Well informed.
About the Afrikaans language. Yeah, you look like it. It means to show off. Okay, the next one was made up on The Simpsons, embiggen. I thought it was going to be Monty Python, but they said it was made up by The Simpsons show. It means to make bigger, to embiggen.
Okay.
Is now it just E-N a, or I-N?
E-M.
E-M.
Embiggen.
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 Okay.
And then we have teradiddle, which means fib.
Oh, I thought a teradiddle had to refer to a computer.
And it was
part of a bite.
Oh, it sounds like a dinosaur to me.
Well, if we got terabytes, couldn't we have teradiddles?
Well, it says they can't figure out where it came from, but it was first noticed in 1796.
Wow.
It's been around a while.
It's been a while.
Somewhat okay. Before the computers.
Yeah. Okay, how about wabbit? To many Americans, wabbit is what comes out of Elmer Fudd's mouth when he sees Bugs Bunny. But to the Scottish, it's a term meaning weary or exhausted. It's derived from the earlier Scots term wobart, meaning withered or feeble. Here's one that we've all heard of, I think. Bumbershoot.
Umbrella.
What?
Bumbershoot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's it says Americans, the Brits call them brollies, but Americans have been using a different whimsical slang term for umbrellas since the late 1800s, bumbershoot.
It doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. Although, according to Merriam-Webster, the bumber prefix is likely an alternation of the umber prefix.
Oh, okay.
So there you go, bumper shoot. All right, how about crapulent?
I've seen a lot of that.
Really?
Now she's going to tell us what the word is, and you're going to be in trouble.
It sounds like a new curse word, but it actually means suffering from excessive eating or drinking.
I've seen a lot of that.
Yeah. How about fartlek? Have you seen a lot of that one?
Some.
Middle low German word vart, meaning pace, and lek comes from the Old Norse lekker, which essentially translates to game. You know, when I first got to Berlin in the military, my roommate picked me up and took me downtown for dinner, and we were riding the subway. And she gave me a German coin and said, "Now go up there and tell them, ein fart bitte." And I went, "I'm not saying that. You're just trying to make a fool of me." She goes, "Nope, that's what it is. Ein fart bitte." And it means, you know, a journey, a ticket.
Wow.
But I wouldn't say it. She had to go up there and buy it for me. Or I would cave. I was sure she was making fun of me. Okay, this next one, I don't know how to say it. Borborygmus. Borborygmus.
Boring person?
No, it's a medical term that refers to the rumbling in your stomach caused by moving gas.
That's called the fart.
Now, this is the beginning. This is the pre-fart. All right, that's my not made up words, but funky words in the English language.
Before we get started with anything else with that introduction.
You're trying to dig us out of a hole.
Ooh, me?
Yes.
I want to mention that if you live in Craven County on October 7th.
No, if you live in New Bern.
It's just New Bern. Okay.
Just New Bern City.
We are having an election on October 7th. And early voting will not be in City Hall. It will be at the Stanley White Recreation Center.
Where is that at?
It's on Broad Street.
First Street and Broad.
Yeah.
It's right opposite the fire station.
Yep. Brand new
building. Beautiful building.
It's where that antique place used to be.
The Black Swan.
Hmm.
And they haven't been working a lot on the Black Swan lately, but that's another story. And early voting begins September 18th. It'll be September 18th and 19th. That's a Thursday and Friday. The following week, it's Monday through Friday. The week after that, September 29th to October 4th, Monday through Saturday, and then October 7th is Election Day.
So okay. This we're voting for aldermen.
We're voting for aldermen.
And they're divided by wards.
Yes.
And so also three bond issues.
That says Ward 5, Ward 6, that's what they're referring to is the aldermen.
And you need to find out what ward
And I
ward
say
you're
that
in.
Because all of us probably don't know who our aldermen are.
Do you know what the bonds are, Bob?
Yes. There are three of them. They have to do with infrastructure.
Yeah, one is for drainage, one is for sidewalks, and actually they're giving presentations. The city is giving presentations. Now, we're recording on Wednesday, and they're giving one at Taberna tonight, as a matter of fact. And I don't remember the total dollar amount.
Yeah, so we have some decisions to make.
And right now I will not express my...
We're still researching, let's just say that.
And people should know, and they already probably do if they're in those wards, but there's outlying areas, of course, the biggest ones, Colors and Taberna, and then you got Blue Water Rise. They're in other precincts that aren't in downtown New Bern-ish area.
And
but
Pat,
we're still in New Bern.
Correct. And Pat, you're in New Bern also.
Yes.
And that's... Heading.
I'm in Bob Brinson's ward.
Yeah, heading south on 17.
Yeah. Bob whatever Brinson. Number that was.
Six.
The one that's empty.
Six.
Okay.
Six.
Okay.
Six.
And you've got the wards there. Okay. You've got the city wards all the way out through. Was it what's the lake?
Lake Tyler.
Lake Tyler. That's also city.
So if you live within the city limits of New Bern, it's time to do some research, find out who your candidates are, and make a choice and figure out when you're going to vote.
These are nonpartisan elections, so you're going to have to investigate the candidates and where they stand.
Just an FYI, New Bern Live sent out a questionnaire to all of the candidates. So they are on Facebook. If you want to look it up under New Bern Live, you can look up what everybody said to all of the questions.
Also, even though it's a nonpartisan election, I believe the candidate's party affiliation is public information, is it not?
Well, it's public information. It will not be on the ballot.
But it is public information. If you want to find out what that is, there are ways to look it up.
You can just look it up under voter ID, right?
Right. Yeah. Board of Elections site. Okay. Voter lookup.
Okay.
Where are we going to go next?
I'm going to mention that inflation has remained steady. I remember all the people yelling, the sky is falling, when Trump did his tariffs, and we were going to have inflation.
Oh, and recession.
And recession all at the same time.
Yep.
And we still may have some inflation, but 2.7% is a whole lot different than the 9% that we hit in Biden. And when they calculate this, they don't really include a lot of the things that are necessities. Your food prices and your housing prices are not always included in these numbers. So they're cute numbers, but they really don't mean anything.
Well, Pat, according to the sign that I saw, food was zero.
Okay, that's
so
nice.
Food prices have not changed. Gas went down 0.2, and housing... Was it housing?
I think it
1.2.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the most inflationary factor.
Yeah. In fact, I was listening to Clay and Buck, and they were complaining about Jeremy Powell not lowering the interest rate. So now those of us like me that are in a 2.25 mortgage, we can't move because we don't want a 7% mortgage. Mm-hmm. And so the whole housing business has just ground to a halt because he won't lower the interest rates.
There is talk of lowering the interest rates next month.
Yeah, up in Massachusetts, our daughter, a real estate lawyer, she has done a lot of real estate transfers, but she's also done no refinancing.
And she figures as soon as the interest rates drop, she's going to get swamped.
But
right.
We do have to remember the Powell's rate isn't the housing rate, but it has an effect on it, and it should influence it down. But that's short-term versus long-term.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If bailing wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We were going to go off into what direction? To the putting on our Texas hat first?
Well, I want to talk about what's been going on with the gerrymandering or non-gerrymandering of Texas. But before we get to that, I want to talk about some of the other states, because we came across a chart about gerrymandering in other states. Now, we moved here from Massachusetts. There are no Republicans in Congress from Massachusetts, and yet the state is 36% Republican. Now, we lived in a Republican stronghold when we lived in Massachusetts, and in order to dilute our Republican stronghold, they had to throw in a couple of cities that were strongly Democrat.
What they did was they took that Republican stronghold area. I'm talking Foxborough and Attleboro, Plainville, North Attleboro, a few towns like that. They took that, I say stronghold, and split it up so it was represented by three other districts rather than a single district. It was split amongst three that had a majority Democrat.
So that way, the Republicans in Massachusetts, even though they make up a third of the population, are not represented in Congress. And the term gerrymandering goes back to the 1800s. There was a politician whose first name was Jerry. I do not remember his last name.
Wasn't Mander?
No.
No, his last name was Jerry. Last name was Jerry.
No, his first name was Jerry. So what happened was, he was drawing districts, and somebody who saw the districts pointed to one and said, that one looks like a salamander. And he said, no, it's gerrymander. And that's where we got the term. But for instance, New Hampshire is 48% Republican. No seats, no Republicans in Congress. New York, 43% Republican. 7 out of 26 seats. So that's 26%. That's better. But generally speaking, the way the districts are drawn in most states, the minority party is not represented. And it would be nice to see that change.
To summarize it, so here are 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 states that were represented less than 50%, but more than 32% Republican that have zero Republican representation. Massachusetts, Connecticut, Maine, New Mexico, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Vermont, Hawaii, and Delaware. No Republican representation in Congress.
So our representative government is not necessarily functioning the way it should.
So now take us to Texas. The Senate has passed a redistricting because they're trying to exclude what they consider the illegal immigrants as being representative of the area. And that may come up for debate somewhere along the line. But in the House of Representatives, many Democrat representatives in the state house ran from the state. They ran out to other states, to Illinois or some other state, so that they could not have a quorum to pass this in the House of Texas. So what did the Governor Abbott do?
Well, he said that they would no longer have direct deposit of their checks.
They have to come and get the check.
They have to collect them in person. And oddly enough, they seem to be coming back.
I understand that Beto O'Rourke has a PAC that has been paying for the expenses of these people that has some illegal innuendos associated.
And that's been stopped also. They are no longer having their hotel bills and all that stuff paid.
Well, what happened with Beto? He has a PAC that had $3 million in it. He paid for the private jet that took him up to Illinois.
A private jet?
Private jet.
Oh, no. Where are the greenies?
Yeah, private jet up to Illinois, paid for their hotel and whatnot. Ken Paxton, the AG in Texas, then went to court and got a temporary restraining order that said his PAC can no longer pay for any of their expenses. Beto had a, whoops, I'm pounding. Beto had a rally with 200 people showed up. They said, pack the building with 200 people. And he said, F the rules. We're doing whatever it takes. And so he's violating the restraining order by continuing to fund these Democrats. And he also said, and as soon as we get back power, we're going to vote in amnesty for all of them. And then...
That's a good campaign slogan.
Yeah, and then Ken Paxton went back to the court that granted the temporary injunction and said, or the restraining order, and said he wants Beto in jail. And the court hasn't ruled on that yet.
Contempt of court?
Is that? Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But the Democrats get paid $600 a month to be a legislator, and the fines for being gone are $500 a month. So they can't stay out that much longer because they can't afford the fines. They can't pay the fines with money raised from anywhere. They have to pay it out of their pocket.
And also, what kind of a hotel room are you going to get into Chicago for, you know, how much is that going to cost?
I think that Beto O'Rourke speech, I saw a portion of it, and he was quite insightful if you want to talk about trying to get people ready to fight or to riot. The words that he was using, I remember when Sarah Palin was vilified for saying that they were going to target certain districts, and she was raked over the coals she was threatening people's lives. She was putting a target on their back. But here we have this other gentleman saying, we're going to fight harder, kick harder.
And what, no rules? And
yeah, and F, he said, F the rules.
Yep.
And then the people seem to be going crazy over it. But none of the progressive people seem to get in any trouble for inciting the riotous behavior that we see as a result of this antagonism. And well, I don't understand. I just can't understand how Joe Average out here thinks that that's right, okay, or even the American way.
I don't think Joe Average thinks it's okay, but Joe Progressive thinks it's pretty okay. Of course, he only had 200 people there.
And the what you are seeing, I believe, is Beto O'Rourke attempting to resurrect his political career.
He looks different. He doesn't look the same as he did when he ran for president. That's for darn sure.
Well, he's older.
Well, I think nursing made him gray.
Nursing?
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Well, he was out on maternity leave, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He and his partner adopted.
No, that's the other
Buttigieg.
Guy.
Oh, you're right.
Oh.
No, oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Beto ran against Ted Cruz for senator, and he ran for governor, and he lost both times.
He wants to come back, and he wants to come back by making all the racket.
No wonder he looks different. Yeah. The wrong name with the wrong guy.
Oh boy, but that's where we are in Texas. Pat, I would like to call on your legal experience for a moment to have you talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Now, wait. Before we leave that, because we went off to the subject of the progressives never seem to get into trouble. Looking down here in this, the Denver Post, apparently, they outed private citizens seeking to hold public office to account. The public office, they got a hold of public records employing citizen who dared post public records regarding criminal activity in the city and social media. So the Denver Post published their addresses, their home addresses, all the public all the information about the individuals. What's that called? Doxing?
Doxing.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
So they went after the whistleblowers rather than the corrupt candidates.
Yes. But nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here.
It's Denver.
Well, Democrats a progressive bastion, it just adds legitimacy to the
Rocky
claims.
Mountain High.
But that's literally what they did. They went after the whistleblower rather than the person who was committing the crime. And unless we get our heads on straight about going after the people doing the dastardly deeds and not the people exposing them, we're not going to clean anything up.
It was the same thing with Doge. I mean, they were mad at the messenger, not the message.
Yeah.
Now, are we seeing that same thing in Washington, D.C.? Now you can transition to where you wanted to go with Pat.
Okay. Pat, the word of the day, we were in a hotel room Monday night, and I actually watched some mainstream media, and the word of the day was government overreach.
Mm-hmm.
So please enlighten me.
Okay. The district is a federal enclave.
It's not like a regular city.
No, it's not. It was set up by our founding fathers. It's not supposed to be a state, even though the Democrats are constantly pushing for statehood. It's supposed to be administered by it was visualized to be administered by the state surrounding it as a neutral zone for the Capitol. So the Capitol wasn't located in any particular state and therefore under the power of a legislature. D.C. decided, or Congress decided, to give D.C. home rule. So they passed a law on home rule, and that law is the one that Muriel Bowser has been referring to because, as some of us here know, when the chief of police was asked by a reporter, "Do you know what the chain of command is now?" she said, "What is that?"
Now, the Home Rule Act was in the 1900s, 1970s.
73. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's relative. I mean, we're talking 50 years they've had to get governance right.
Who said get it right?
Yeah, who said they've ever had it right?
Well, that's what I mean. They've had 50 years to try to get it right.
Because Washington, when I was going there for my reserve duty while I was in law school, I had to go to the Washington Navy Yard, which is in southeast D.C. in the Anacostia area, which everybody knows is like the heartbeat of the crime central. And we had to park out beyond the Navy Yard. We weren't allowed to be inside. And I tried to get a cab once to come to Bowling Air Force Base, and cabbie explained, "We don't go down there because they shoot us in the back of the head."
Oh. Wow.
We're gonna come back to this and talk about D.C. What's happening with the crime rates in D.C. and
I can expound on overreach.
Okay. We're gonna take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Pat, you were going to go into
a little bit more on overreach.
On the overreach.
What the president has done is allowed by law. It's a federal enclave. He sent federal law enforcement in there. And Muriel Bowser is cooperating with him because she really has no choice. The law, the home rule law, states how once the feds come in, how this works, what the chain of command is. But it only lasts for 30 days.
Can it be renewed in 30 days?
Yes.
I haven't seen anybody say that, if it can be renewed.
I read that it could be.
Without going to Congress?
Oh, I don't know about that, but I read it could be renewed.
That's the hard part.
Well, I have a question about that, Pat. Based on the home rule and the information that we have that Trump had offered to bring in the National Guard prior to the January 6th event, couldn't he have invoked a home rule kind of thing at that point?
I don't think he knew it.
Okay.
I don't think he got that advice. I think you can see from Trump 2.0 that he figured out his little inner circle figured out a whole lot of mechanisms for power. That's why you see the press keep saying, this has never been used, this law is...
And back then, when he had authorized the use of the National Guard, only if Nancy Pelosi had... I mean, he didn't wait for... He didn't think he had the power. He was waiting for the Speaker of the House.
Because it was the Capitol building.
The Capitol. Mm-hmm.
And she is in charge of the Capitol building. Now, if it had been D.C., he could have come in under the home rule. But I think because it was the Capitol building, she and her Speaker were responsible for its security, and she refused to authorize
to act on
it.
One of the talking points that the Democrats are using is... Well, he called in the National Guard now. Why didn't he call it in January 6th? And the former head of the Washington
Police
has released a statement saying it was called in numerous times. I called for it numerous times, and Nancy Pelosi stopped it.
Well, and the military command dragged their feet, too.
Yes.
The militaries.
So this was... That's an unfair charge, and it brings us back to the fact that January 6th was set up.
Yeah, it just draws attention back to what Trump's been saying all along. I ask for the National Guard, and you refuse to approve it.
Probably because it didn't fit the role that they wanted the event to hold. They wanted it to erupt into chaos. They
yes.
set it up to be.
Yes, because
okay.
they knew this was coming. They had prior notice.
They had infiltrators in there to make sure it went south
you
quickly.
Know,
yeah.
It's interesting that right now President Trump, and I've heard it a number of times, right now, again, he's playing either three or four dimensional chess when everybody else is trying to master checkers. And this is a situation where he is putting them in the situation that they have to defend the undefendable.
Again.
And that's the key. That's the key word. Yeah. Every time he's got them where you can't defend the undefendable.
The thing that still makes me angry about all of this is every time you hear a new breakthrough thing from a whistleblower, you always hear about the statute of limitations. And one of the things that came out about Adam Schiff just yesterday, and they were saying, well, that's 7 years ago, that's however many years ago, we don't know about the statute of limitations. My fear is, where is our faith in our government going to be if there is no accountability other than their reputation being scarred? I want someone to go to jail.
I totally agree with that. But to get back to Washington for a minute, the justification for this has been the crime rate.
Squirrels.
You know, and meanwhile, the mayor's claiming the crime rate has gone down. And now we've got somebody who's been suspended for fudging the figures on the crime rate.
Well, let's look at it a different way. The crime rate per
100,000
100,000 people in London is one. In Madrid, 1. In Paris, 1. In Washington, D.C., 27.
But they even had, like, Bangladesh and some places that were...
Mexico City is 10.
Yeah.
Bogota is 9.
Yeah. We're still three times as much.
Three times as violent.
And as cities that were known as violent. And we've even heard folks saying... I'm trying to think of who was the... Joe Scarborough is trying to say, we needed some... I mean, here's a person who is anti-Trump as you can possibly be. We needed some relief, and then Trump's a bad guy. But we needed the relief. And so he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth.
And you're dealing with, theoretically, a gun-free zone, are you not?
D.C. is a gun-free zone?
It's supposed to be, isn't it?
I don't know.
You just can't have a legal gun.
So is there any possibility of the... I know this is a question... is there any possibility of this kind of event happening in other states?
They're not federal enclaves.
Could a sheriff?
They would have to be invited into the city. And
that's my question.
The other
Could
cities,
a sheriff invite?
No.
Okay.
The other cities are run by Democrats. They're not going to invite.
Because you've got Chicago that's probably
Detroit,
worse.
Memphis. Yeah.
But Trump... President Trump is playing well with Reagan's statement about it's amazing at what you can get done when you don't care who gets credit for it. He wants the city to be better. He's going to meet with Putin because he wants that war to end. He's stopped wars all around. Is he ever going to get the Nobel Peace Prize?
No.
No, he's never going to get it. But he wants to stop wars everywhere.
And wouldn't it be nice to have a capital city where you could rock around at night and not worry?
I'll tell you, when I was doing my reserve duty up in the Washington Navy Yard, we had to do our yearly aerobics test, which was a mile walk. I know, it's Air Force.
You didn't have to fly for a mile?
No, we had to walk for a mile. And... it was a Sunday afternoon, and we were walking through Anacostia, and there were most of us were white, and we had one guy, one black guy. We all had weird clothing on, just bits and pieces of stuff, you know. One of the guys was wearing the shoes he farmed in, mud all over him and stuff, and we had one black guy, and he's just styling in one of those suits, you know, those exercise suits. And we're walking through Anacostia, and the streets were basically empty. But every once in a while, we'd pass a black person, and they would be looking at us like we had beamed down from another planet. What is this group of white people shepherded by the one black guy walking through Anacostia on a Sunday afternoon? It was so funny.
But we
made it back without...
We want our cities to be places you can walk around. We have a friend who's a truck driver, and he was delivering something into the FedEx terminal in Memphis. And he was told, don't leave the terminal at night. It's not safe.
The culture has to change that the consequences are strict enough that there's the gang violence, for instance, when they're getting the younger kids to commit the crime because there's no consequences. The culture of the punishment has to change. We have to quit thinking, oh, they're just a child, because these children are killing people.
And if they're carjacking cars, they're not children anymore.
And that's what Judge Pirot is saying, that in from the district attorneys, the cases are not even being brought before the court.
Well, they have no cash bail, which means it's a revolving door. And the D.C. Council passed all these new laws for juveniles that mean they get probation. They go to juvenile court. The crimes don't show up in the crime index because they're juvenile crimes. It's kind of a wrinkle in the law that juveniles are charged with under a statute that if it had been committed by an adult would be a felony. it's not considered a felony in children's court. It's a violation. It's you know.
It doesn't even stick with you, no.
But no, because your juvenile file is sealed. You have to get the court to unseal it if there's some reason you're investigating a particular.
Is there a way to deal with these kids so that they don't grow up and be adult offenders?
Undo those laws and prosecute them as adults.
At some point, you've got to start taking the parents into account. It was mentioned before in the past, absent fathers is an issue. But also, do you have a mother that's not mothering because she's working a 16-hour-a-day job? You know, there's reasons that these kids are falling into this trap, and that's what we have to solve.
Well, it's interesting you talk about that, and it's true, but I'm thinking about Ben Carson, who grew up in a home with a single mother who couldn't read, and yet she assigned her two sons a book report every week. They didn't know she couldn't read, and raised them in such a way that they became productive citizens. So it can be done. But for some reason, we don't have, there are a lot of people who aren't doing it.
Sorry, but the example you picked is a real outlier.
Yes. And it's
a brain surgeon.
And probably not raised in an urban area.
I don't know that. I don't know where they were raised.
Well, some of it I would take all the way back to taking prayer out of school. The moral compass of the country has gone down. When I was in high school in the 70s, if we had an unwanted pregnancy, we weren't celebrating it.
Weren't having a baby shower.
We weren't celebrating the Hollywood stars with the immorality. And now it seems like it's not just revered, it's the goal. We want to, look at these. Well, I hate to say it, even Elon Musk, all these children with all these different mothers. Where's the moral compass?
Yeah, it isn't there. That's like the joke that went around for a while about you can't put the Ten Commandments up in a courtroom because of the corruption. It would make for hostile work environment.
Mm-hmm. By the way, a little quirk of trivia that we can throw in. We're going to take a break in just a minute. By the way, West Point and the Air Force Academy agreed to use merit-based admissions.
Good.
It was interesting. The Navy Annapolis was challenged not too long ago, I think 2023, with their admissions. And if you were the chances of you being admitted or the statistics of you being admitted if you were black was 50%. If you had that same statistical and academic background as a white, it was 5%. So everybody's going after merit now. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. So now we're using one of those key words.
Snodgoster.
Okay.
Rude, unprincipled person.
Okay, so let's start talking about them.
Oh, but I was talking about Democrats. Oops.
We're nonpartisan, remember, Pat?
Yeah, we're nonpartisan. I didn't say I was going to vote for him.
Go for it.
Okay. The people that are concerned, the MAGA base, that there's not going to be any perp walks and people go to jail because of statute of limitations, have some
hope
due to this idea that if the Department of Justice can swing the grand conspiracy that shows that what they started during his first term continued through the lawfare, through the Mar-a-Lago raid, to, you know, the other stuff that they've done against him, including the shooting, that all of this is one big plan to try to keep Trump out of office, that they may be able to get federal jurisdiction down in the federal court in Florida based on the Mar-a-Lago raid, which would be interesting.
Because that raid physically happened in Florida.
Right. Yeah, otherwise, you're talking about the D.C. court, and you can't get
a conviction in D.C.
No.
On something like this.
No. Most of the people that are citizens of D.C. are black, and they vote Democrat.
So where does all of this tie back into, like, President Obama's administration? Is he liable under any of this stuff for his?
Yeah, he started it. He started it when he ordered the ICA, the intelligence assessment, to be altered and then included in the presidential daily briefing. He ordered that this whole thing begin. Now, they're saying that he may have immunity under the Supreme Court decision that gave Trump immunity. However, I don't think so, because it said core presidential duties. And core presidential duty does not include setting up your successor for phony intel. So I don't think his immunity would cover it.
So if he is compelled as a citizen to come to be deposed, would he, without immunity, without presidential immunity, he would still be able to claim the fifth?
No.
Okay, explain.
Because he would be claiming he had immunity.
Huh?
He would claim he had immunity. Therefore, he can't, I'm claiming I have immunity, but I'm going to take the fifth anyway. It's one or the other.
Well, if you claim you have immunity, do you still have to answer questions?
Yeah, you do.
Now, you might.
If you don't have immunity, I mean, because we all celebrated this, let's give somebody immunity and put them on the stand, and they have to answer the questions because they can't incriminate themselves.
So the Fifth Amendment is, if you don't have immunity and you want to protect yourself from self-incrimination.
Self-incrimination in a court of law,
so,
under oath.
So if you say, oh, I have immunity, then anything you say is not going to be held against you, theoretically.
Right.
So there's no penalty for telling the truth, so you don't need protection.
But how many times did Rush Limbaugh play Hillary Clinton saying, "My mind's in a blender"?
I can't remember. "My mind's in a blender."
Right.
It was a great song.
I just want...
People that are not going to tell the truth are going to find some way to not tell the truth.
And I just don't know how you compel somebody to speak.
And in general, if they're smart enough to not, they'll find something that you can't. They'll say it some way. Depends on what is, and they'll say it in a way that you can't prosecute.
Well, Peter, you ask the question, what if they just don't answer the question? You find them in contempt.
Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon went to jail. So the Democrats have already set the precedent.
Right.
You know, if you're not going to speak, you're going to see the inside of a jail cell.
Well, I still want to see that perp walk. You're right. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I think the divisive nature that this country has gotten into because of all of this, it needs somebody to be responsible.
Well, of course it does. Question is our system going to stand up to it?
Is that another one of those weird words, kerfuffle?
It's a kerfuffle. And there's a lot of people telling taradiddles, too.
It's not a single party here. We have Bill Barr, who was supposedly supposed to be not...
Fannie Willis update. I forgot Fannie Willis update.
Okay, go for it.
Bill Barr was working with Fannie Willis, and he was the one that recommended RICO to her because it's so hard to defend.
How'd they find that out?
Oh, that's been out there. But
it just came out.
It's a shame.
It just came out last week.
Yeah, that's been out there last week. But it's a shame that Bill Barr, who up until dealing with Trump, had a good reputation and then ruined his reputation to go against Trump.
But there were other... John McCain, he did the same thing.
We don't know whether he had a good reputation or just didn't get himself into trouble.
But there were other attorney generals involved as well. Last night on Fox News...
Sessions.
Yeah.
He recused himself, which was horrible.
But I'm just saying that there is no innocent hands in this. I think there was a lot of collusion and the monoparty?
Uniparty.
Yeah. Well, mono sounds.
The club.
Yeah.
The club.
With enough of them that had the same agenda, didn't matter who was in power as long as the agenda was met. And that goes with Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. It doesn't matter who gets elected, the agenda stays the same. And I think that's pretty much where we've been until Trump.
And that also goes back to the quote, I can't think of his name, but ideally the government would be such that no matter who got elected, you know, you elect somebody to throw the bums out, but then they just continue doing the same thing the bums were doing. And then you elect somebody to throw those bums out, Carol Quigley.
And if you look at campaign finance, and recently there was an article that said what the net worth of certain legislative people was when they went in office and where it is now. And just looking at that screams corruption.
Well, Nancy Pelosi has a better stock trading record than all the experts.
Yeah, we need to have her give us recommendations on a daily basis like she gives to her.
Somebody does do that.
Yes, there is a website.
There's a fund. They've built a fund that tracks.
Yeah.
We need to follow that then.
Well, even if you do, the big
you're
gains,
be a day
the
late.
Big gains were already made before.
Yeah,
you
you're
going to
be a day late. But no, I'll be honest, I don't know if the depth of corruption that we are seeing in our government is beatable. I feel like Donald Trump's going to do his best for the next 3 years.
Term limits is the only way to get rid of that deep state.
But then you're not getting rid of the bureaucrats behind it.
Yeah, they have to be term limited too.
Yes.
When the person they work for goes out,
so do you.
They go out.
Yes, and you bring in an entirely new team.
And typically, that's how a lot of judges happen. You know, if a new judge comes in, they bring in their people. They don't keep the old staff.
Well, isn't there something about CEOs when they take over a corporation, demand the resignation of everybody in the hierarchy of the corporation, and then they go through and decide who they're going to keep?
Well, no, I think we'd have better success in eliminating their retirement benefits.
Well, I think some of the retirement benefits were ended with the USAID being defunded, if you look at where some of that money was going.
Well, they should be under the same health care and the same Social Security benefits that the people in the country are under.
Well, AOC is the one that keeps coming to my mind because I think she's extremely dangerous. She's very charismatic, and she's got a lot of what the young people seem to be grasping for. But the article I read said her net worth when she went into Congress was $2,200, and now it's over $24 million.
How do you get there?
Does that happen unless you're getting paid? And I understand she could be being paid for speeches, mm-hmm. but the time sure still doesn't make sense.
Well, and she's going after Schumer's seat.
Well, I think we need a tougher look at these campaign finance.
She's in the wrong House of Congress.
But she wants to go to the Senate.
Yeah,
I think she wants to go to president myself.
Oh, you know? I agree with that. But what do you guys think about the guy who's leading in the New York mayor race?
Mamdani.
He's a communist.
Yep.
He is. What happened? Does it impact the rest of the country if New York City is run by a communist?
Well, the podcasters are saying that it makes a difference. Jimmy Fallon, for one, Fox Across America, he says that it provides a model for other cities, large cities in America. And he's already pointing to two other places where there's a communist running. One of them is a Somali guy.
Ilhan Omar.
No. It's a young man up in Minnesota,
in Minnesota.
He's a young man.
Yeah, he's from Somalis in
and
that,
then
that
you
area.
You'll look at cities like Cincinnati, where they had that group of folks attack somebody, and the district attorney, I guess, has decided, well, we're going to charge the not only the attackers, but also charge the victim for inciting.
Are you talking about Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Where the black people went up and said, we want the white guy charged?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you saying the district attorney is charging them?
Charging them as inciting.
Oh, for God.
Just for being present?
No, because apparently the white person said some derogatory remark that started the whole fight.
Hmm.
But they didn't throw the first punch. They just said something. So they're going to be charged. It makes no sense. But I just wonder, I mean, New York City.
I don't know how we got down this rabbit hole from communists, but okay.
But New York City is one of our largest cities. And I just wonder what the impact will be.
Well, what happens if it fails?
Well, New York has failed before. And the major real estate holders in New York City bailed it out by paying their real estate taxes in advance. I don't know if that will happen again. One of those companies was Rudin Management, who recently made the news because of the shooting in their headquarters.
And that building, that office, actually was our daughter's office for 20 years.
Well, if you look at the population of the state, it's not the entire state of New York that has that communist nature. So if New York, central part of New York, goes downhill fast, then what about the rest of the state? Everybody is a victim there.
I think we're going to need to close the show on that. Folks, again, thank you for staying with us. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.